These scriptures that were read tonight, beginning in Isaiah chapter 11, if you'll turn back there with me, outline for us the mission of Christ while on this earth. He came and lived a perfect life, as Isaiah prophesied here back in Isaiah chapter 11. He judged righteously. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. His glory and his delight was in the law of the Lord and in carrying out his mission that the Father sent him here to do. And he spoke words that we all should heed, whereof by heeding we can also have the promise and hope of heaven that the Bible clearly tells us about. These words that were spoken are the words that will judge us in that last day, as we read in John chapter 12. For Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, he came to save the world. And by loving the law that the Lord has delivered, as we read in the book of Psalms, and by letting it go into our hearts and take root there and being a part of us, we can have this promise of salvation that Christ died for on the cross. Because even today, thousands of years after these words were written, the law of God and the words that he spoke are alive and powerful. They're not a dead letter, but living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men and women. The Word of God can tell you all about yourself if you would simply read it and examine yourself compared to what you read there. And then we kind of end up where we began, looking back at Jesus, the one who made it all possible, that great high priest who knows what it's like to live in this life and to feel the pain and the suffering that we go through. He knows what it's like because he did it himself. So going back over these passages, let's first consider Isaiah chapter 11, these first five verses here, where we read of the promise of the coming of Christ from the roots of Jesse and the branch that will spring out of the Lord. We know that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit. We saw there in the words in Matthew, after Jesus obeyed the commands that the Father gave and was baptized by John in the Jordan, the heavens were opened and they saw the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son." And also on the Transfiguration Mount, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God thereby showing us through these inspired words that Christ is the one, Jesus is the one, that we should give all our heed and all our attention to. The words that he spoke, are the words that we should dwell on and should listen to. "Hear ye him," the Father would say. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Surely Christ knew everything, for he is God. He knows what is right and wrong. He knew how to teach the people what is right and wrong. He stood there when he was preaching, not like the scribes and the others. He taught as one who had authority, for surely he was the Son of God, and he did have authority. He had the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge, and the fear or reverence of the Lord. Surely no one would know as much about the Lord and what is required of man than, of course, the Son of God, who came, as Paul would say, to be the mediator between man and God. Jesus, of course, having this knowledge. Next we read, "He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not," this is important, "judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." We see that Jesus understood and he knows what truly makes a person right with God. He doesn't look at the outside of man like we do. He doesn't judge by what he sees with his eyes or hears with his ears, necessarily, because Jesus could look into the heart and see what was truly inside of a man and inside of a woman. Jesus didn't judge based on what kind of mood he was in on a given day, but he judged righteously, and he judged honestly and fairly, because he is our Lord and our Savior, as the Bible would say. He did not judge in these ways, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Those who refuse his word, we read that he will smite them with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness was all about Christ, was it not? Righteousness, it says here, was the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Jesus was clothed in righteousness. Every part of him was righteous. In him there was found no guile. And so reading here in verse 3 and 4, we see that there are certain things that proceeded out of Jesus' mouth that is going to either justify or condemn. And in our next reading, John chapter 12, we understand that this is the words that he spoke. The word that I spake, the same will judge you in the last day. He would tell those people there listening to him in John chapter 12. Those words, looking here before we turn away, the righteous words will judge the poor. It will bring equity to those and equality to between all men and women because of the way that he can judge. And those who refuse it are going to feel that blast from his mouth and the breath of his lips. So looking then at John chapter 12 and verse number 44 through 50, we see that what was prophesied in the book of Isaiah came about by the teaching and preaching that Jesus did while he lived on this earth and the ministry that he fulfilled, leaving us thousands of years later the written word that we can still read and still be judged by. For we know that Jesus did not come into the world to judge the world, as verse 47 says. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, or else we would all be condemned. For who could stand in the presence of Christ? But he came to this earth to save the world. And the only way that we can be condemned is by not listening to the saving words that he gave. Likewise, the only way we can be saved is by listening to those words. He didn't come to condemn and to judge and to destroy the earth. He came to save the earth. And by speaking out the things that he received from the Father, he would tell us in this passage, and by teaching us the things that God would have us to do, we all, as faithful hearers of the word, can have that promise of heaven. We don't have to have something judging us in that last day if we follow the words which he spoke. Verse 49 and 50 of this text, it wasn't Jesus himself acting, but giving the commandments of the Father in heaven. We want to obey Jesus, therefore we also, when we do that, are obeying the Father in heaven. So how should we view these words? Next we look at the book of Psalms. If you'll turn there to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, starting in verse number 9. If Jesus came to live a righteous, flawless, guiltless life, and he doesn't judge by how he sees and hears, but by righteousness, the words that he speaks, what should my response be to those words? Well, I think no greater chapter in the Bible can tell us that besides Psalm 119. For every verse in this chapter deals with the law that God gave, the words. We begin in verse 9, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Whether we're old or young now, we were all young at one point, and we had the opportunity to listen to the words of God. Whether you're Brandon's age or William's age, hopefully they're listening and paying attention tonight. The words that God spoke, how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking those words in. He would say, by taking heed thereunto in thy word. Next we read, as the psalmist was writing, the whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have reckoned in the way of testimonies as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced, the testimonies of the Lord were more rejoicing than the riches of this earth. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I will have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Jesus promised heaven and salvation. And if we would just be like this man here, David, writing this psalm, and you noticed as I was reading all the things he was going to do with the word of God, how he was going to take heed unto it and let it dwell in his whole heart and not wander from it and hide it there in the heart. He was asking God to teach him, and he was rejoicing that the Lord declared all his judgments. With that in mind, let's turn to our final text of Hebrews chapter 4. Just as it was true when Isaiah spoke it, it was true when Jesus spoke it himself, it was true when the writer of the psalm we just read wrote it down. The Lord's words are just as alive and able today. The Bible that we are all holding tonight is not a dead letter. It's not something that is outdated or outmoded for the times that we live in. But the Bible tells us here plainly, in verse number 12 that the word of God, thinking back to Isaiah 11, the words that Jesus spoke, and to John 12, the word that he spake that will judge us in the last day, and back to Psalms, those words that we all want to store up in our hearts. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature, he would go on to say in the next verse, that is not made plain and laid open in his sight because of the words that Jesus spoke. God holds us all to the same standard. It's living and active. It's able to discern our thoughts and our intentions. And there is nothing that we can do that is good that God will miss. There is nothing we can do that is bad that God will miss. Because we are all laid open and made manifest before him because of the simple word of God. We all know what we must do and what we must not do. There's no secrets. There's no shadows cast by his turning. There's no surprises on the day of judgment. The word of God is living and active today, and it can judge the thoughts and intents of our hearts today. And we are all laid open because of the word of God today. And God could see just exactly who we are, whether we be his children or not. And we will end tonight where we began. We have a great high priest, that Jesus, that rod and that branch that was spoken of in Isaiah chapter 11. We have a great high priest who is the Son of God, the Bible would tell us, who is sitting on the right hand of God in heaven. And for that reason alone, let us hold fast our profession, because of how great he is a high priest. But then we realize how great he is, looking back in Isaiah and here in Hebrews, because he was able to speak righteousness and not judge according to what things looked like or what things sounded like, but he was able to judge by the power of his word. And knowing what it's like to live as a man or a woman on this earth, knowing what it's like to be a human being, he is a faithful and just high priest because he knows what it's like to suffer like we suffer. And that's why the words that he spake are so fair and so easy, because he can't ask of us anything that he himself doesn't know what it's like to go through. Jesus knows what it's like, and that's what makes him a great high priest. And so with these thoughts tonight, let us consider verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because of the word he spoke and the fact that we are all here clinging to it and putting it in our hearts, we don't have to wonder whether or not we get to go to heaven. But we can be bold and know that we are saved because we are following the words of Christ. So that is our lesson tonight, our reminder. If there is anyone here who needs to confess fault before God or ask for the help or prayers of those more mature in the faith, let us know what we can do to help as we stand and sing this song for your encouragement.